Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and as Richard just said, we will bring you that news conference with Mayor Bloomberg at 11:30, as it is scheduled, for the expected announcement that the short-lived experiment with publishing executive Kathy Black running the New York City schools is over, and we'll talk lots about it as that news conference draws closer. But my first guest this hour is the Libyan ambassador to the United States who has defected from Muammar Gaddafi. His name is Ali Ojli. He now represents the Libyan rebels, and we will get his take on the state of the war, the Arab Spring generally, and who the rebels really are. He is asking for formal U.S. recognition of his group, the Transitional National Council. Three countries have already recognized it as the legitimate Libyan government: France, Qatar, and Italy. Ambassador Ojli, thank you very much for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Tell us more completely, when and why did you defect from the Gaddafi government, and who do you represent now exactly?
Well, I defected from Gaddafi government on the 21st of last month after Gaddafi started killing innocent people just because they want to protest to say that they want their freedom. And using the mercenaries, this is unacceptable at all. Using the arms against the civilian, this is not acceptable. And the speech Saif made on the 21st, that's the last thing I was thinking that Saif will say.
And that's Gaddafi's son, Saif Gaddafi, yes?
That's right, Saif, yeah, the son of Gaddafi. That's what make me go straight to Al Jazeera, and I said I have nothing to do anymore with this regime.
If I may ask, why should Americans or Libyans trust you? You've been a diplomat for Gaddafi since 1971, serving all over the world on his behalf. Considering the nature of the regime that you did serve for 40 years, why do you have credibility to represent the rebels or the Transitional National Council today?
Yeah, this is a very good question. Because I'm a decent man, I'm not tools of Gaddafi, I'm serving the Libyan people and the Libyan interests. And then it is, thank God my reputation in Libya is a great one, and this is why it was easy for the council to ask me to continue representing the Libyan people. And I'm very proud to do that. I've been in the Foreign Service for a long time, but I said I'm not tools of Gaddafi. I'm trying very much to help the Libyan people. And when I came to this country in 2004, I thought when we have a good Libya, have a good relation with the United States, then the democratic institution in the United States, they will be able to make some contact with the Libyans, and Gaddafi will feel more safe from the Americans. Maybe he will turn back to his people and said, okay, now the time for development, now the time for democracy, now the time for change. He presented his son Saif that to do that, but unfortunately, Saif, he'd been talking about democracy, about constitution, about reform, nothing happened. He recruited some very good professors from Libyans, from inside Libya and outside Libya. But unfortunately, all of them, they have to leave their position because they find out that they cannot achieve anything.
There were reports this week that Saif was supposedly trying to negotiate an exit for his father. Do you think there are any such sincere negotiations?
Yeah, I hear something like that. They say to negotiate an exit for his father, but the exit just from the maybe Bab el Aziziyah, where the Gaddafi is compound, but he want him to stay in Libya and say if he want to take over. This is not acceptable by any Libyan from border to border. They suffered a lot from Gaddafi, and say if he made himself clear that he's the youngest Gaddafi. No difference at all, unfortunately, between him and his father.
So under that Muammar Gaddafi resignation scenario, Saif himself takes over.
This is this scenario, this is his scenario now. And even the Turkish Prime Minister tried to sell this this initiative by saying that Gaddafi name person that Libya will accept, and that he exactly he means safe. But safe is not acceptable anymore. And I think Gaddafi, he burned his own son when he asked him to make that speech on the 21st. Then safe, he has no more credibility anymore. At all for the Libyan people.
My guest is the former Libyan ambassador to the United States representing the Gaddafi regime. He defected last month, as you heard him say, and now represents the Transitional National Council, which represents the rebels and others. I see that you were born in Benghazi, which is the seat of the rebellion and the city where Gaddafi was threatening a massacre, and you attended Benghazi University, yes?
That's true, yes. I born there, and I graduated from Benghazi University and joined the Foreign Service a long time ago. And I'm very happy and very proud that I belong to the city that always in the front of against Gaddafi's regime since 1969. But not only Benghazi, but every city in Libya, they suffered from the Gaddafi's regime, and now they are united to get rid of him, east or west, north or south. Still Gaddafi, he is now in power, or still Gaddafi is controlling some of the country, not because of the Libyan loyalty to him, but because of the mercenaries he is bringing from different countries.
President Obama referred to Benghazi in his speech about the war to the American people. I want to play that clip.
If we waited one more day, Benghazi, a city nearly the size of Charlotte, could suffer a massacre that would have reverberated across the region and stained the conscience of the world.
So, Ambassador, I think our listeners may be curious. Can you tell us more about that part of Libya and why the uprising would be centered there? And does Benghazi have much in common with Charlotte?
Yeah, I think, you know, Benghazi, it is a city with very special characteristics. Benghazi is... The inhabitant of Benghazi is Libyan from all over Libya. And this is why when the rising against Gaddafi starts in Benghazi and Gaddafi starts killing the Libyans in Benghazi, then other cities in east and west, they came out to support this the Libyan protest in Benghazi. Then it is a city which has this kind of charisma, which is maybe not in every city in Libya. Now Tripoli, for example, it is the same thing. And Tripoli is now the most important city. If they've been able, the NATO and the Libyan, to get rid of the siege of the city and to get rid of the sniper who are now occupying the roofs of the most of the building in Tripoli, shooting any Libyans going out without permission, then I think that will make a lot of a change. I believe that Benghazi has very, very special nature, you know, because maybe of the habitants, because of the history, and because, as I mentioned, that all the Libyans from different department, from different geographical area in Libya, they are living in Benghazi and they have relatives and they have families. Maybe if it happened in a different city, which is only the main inhabitants of that city there, mm-hmm. maybe it will not, the revolution will not spread all over Libya.
So I don't know if it's got anything in common with Charlotte, but in a way that sounds like it has something in common with New York, if it's a place where people from all over come to live.
Yeah, that's I agree with that, yeah.
So Americans wonder, who are the Libyan rebels? In Egypt, we saw peaceful protesters gather by the tens of thousands in Tahrir Square day after day. In Libya, there was a short attempted protest, then it became an armed rebellion, and U.S. intelligence says there are, quote, flickers of al-Qaeda in the Benghazi area. So who are the rebels, and what kind of government would they establish if they gain power?
Well, I don't care. I don't call them rebels. Rebels, to me, that's people they want to separate from the motherland, or I call them the protesters, or call them the revolutionaries. But I never call them rebels. They are ordinary Libyan. They are students, they are teachers, they are professors, they are ordinary Libyan who try to protest in a very peaceful demonstration, find themselves without warning facing a real war. The Libyans find themselves in a real battle. Then they have to defend themselves, and they manage to get rid, to take over some military camps, and the military personnel, they sided the Libyan, and they've been able to get some arms to defend themselves. Then they are not ready to form a resistance and using guns against the regime, but they have to defend their family, they have to defend their children, and Gaddafi's claim that Al-Qaeda is there, I think nobody now is believe what Gaddafi claimed. We are not worried that Al-Qaeda will be there. Libyan will never change Gaddafi's regime by another regime like Al-Qaeda or whatever. Libyan people, they're very moderate, they're very open, they don't hate anybody, they don't hate other religion, they are very compassionate, and they need the help of the international community to get rid of this regime. Then they can establish their democratic country, they can dream that they have a better future for their children, for their grandchildren. My worry is that if this crisis takes a long time, that nobody can guarantee what will happen. Maybe that member of Al-Qaeda will infiltrate in Libya. But I hope that this crisis will not take that long, and that we cut the road for any terrorist personnel to be engaged in the Libyan resistance against Gaddafi.
Ali Ousli, my guest on WNYC. He was the Libyan ambassador to the United States. He defected from Gaddafi last month and now represents the Transitional National Council, which has been recognized as the legitimate Libyan government by France and Italy and Qatar. They want the United States to recognize them, too. And, Ambassador, the New York Times has an article today. Oh, and by the way, listeners, we will bring you Mayor Bloomberg's news conference at 11:30 if you're just tuning in. Reports are that Kathy Black is out already as New York City schools chancellor, so we will have extensive coverage of that starting in just a few minutes. The New York Times, Ambassador, has an article today that says the rebels are making angry charges that NATO is failing to come to their aid. Is that your position?
First of all, let me say we are grateful to the United States and to Britain and to France who take the lead in the first place, and then we are also grateful for the NATO to take over, you know, the leadership. And of course, we like very much the United States to be involved as it used to be, until we get rid of this regime. I think there are some complaints I heard yesterday from the chief of staff in the Eastern Part. I think matter of coordinating, matter of how the order are carried. He claimed that there are some delay between the when the NATO receive the information and when the NATO act. And unfortunately, there are cities, they have to be rescued from Gaddafi's security forces. But we are sure that the NATO will play their role. We are sure that the NATO will complete the mission. And we are sure that will be more coordination between the ground and the air. That's the most important issue. But they're a little bit angry, yes, and we have to justify this because, you know, they're exhausted and they don't have the right weapon to face the Gaddafis, and Gaddafi still have more weapon, more mercenaries coming in waves. And I think we have seen some changes today, and I hope this is changing, and the action from NATO will be continuing until they get rid from Gaddafi.
If NATO support at this moment is inadequate, does that have anything to do with the United States handing over leadership of the intervention to NATO in the last few days?
Well, I think if you compare between when the United States was involved and now, I think there is a little bit of some questions to be asked, you know, because unfortunately Gaddafi is still sieging the cities, Gaddafi is still killing the people, Gaddafi still have more than 70% of his forces still active, and it is a big force, and I am sure that NATO and the United States, which is part of NATO, they have some consultation and they have studied the situation on the ground, and they now I'm sure that they're taking more measurement to stop Gaddafi's killing his people, because this is the Security Council resolution, to stop Gaddafi from killing his people. And we all cannot stop this if we cannot target the Gaddafi's forces before they get involved inside the cities. Then they will use the human shield. That will be a problem to get them out. Then Gaddafi's forces must be attacked and strikes before they get inside the cities.
Do you want the United States to officially retake command?
Well, I want this is up to, you know, United States and the NATO. How do they decide to coordinate among them? But what I want United States to be involved. And they said that they will be involved when the NATO, they ask them to join again and use their weapons and their technology. I think NATO and United States, they complete each other. And that's up to NATO to decide and up to the United States to join. But the Libyan question and the Libyan wish that they need an action, urgent action, and then they need to get rid of this regime as soon as possible.
Why do you think Italy, France, and Qatar have recognized the Transitional National Council as the legitimate government of Libya and the U.S. has not?
This is a question I really don't know how to answer, but of course, you know, the Italy, the Italian, they have a very strong relation with Gaddafi's regime, and they realize that what Gaddafi is doing to his own people is not acceptable. Qatar, of course, this is one of the Arab countries, they small country, and they know and they see what Gaddafi is doing with his people. There are some other Arab countries, I think they are coming also to recognize the Libyan Council, and I think United States, they will do the same sooner or later. The recognition of the United States, I think it is really important. I hope that that will come soon, and I hope that we will have a full recognition for the Libyan representative here and for the council also to be the only legitimate representative of the Libyan people.
Ambassador,
it's just a matter of time, you know.
Your Wikipedia page says that you are known, among many other things, for defending the return of the Pan Am 103 bomber Al-Megrahi to Libya. Do you defend that to this day?
Well, I think that's one of the issues can be discussed, and I think the Libyans, they are very open to discuss this kind of issue, especially after the chairman, Mustafa Abdul Jalil, of the Libyan Interim Council, that he said that Gaddafi is involved in the ordering of the shooting of Pan Am 103. I think this is one of the issues that the Libyan and the American, they will talk about. The Libyan, I think they are very open.
What does that mean, very open? To do what?
I mean that very open to handle the issue, you know, to talk how if they find him alive, you know, we don't know with this man what's going to do with the someone like Megrahi, or he doesn't hesitate at all to kill anybody. He feels that maybe he a resource for certain information, a resource for certain news, which maybe they will embarrass the regime. He will get rid of them, believe me.
So we're just about out of time. I really want to thank you for coming on today. I appreciate it. I hope we can talk again as this goes forward. I wish all the best to you and the Libyan people. I hope this turns out very, very well. Do you consider the Libyan uprising to be part of a region-wide democracy movement before you go?
First of all, thank you very much for calling me and to review me. And I think Libyans, they deserve to have their freedom. And I think they're part of what's happening in the Arab world. I think the leaders in the Arab countries, they have to give more time for their people. They have to do more reform, not the only thinking about the people when they face the challenges. I think this is what's happening in Libya and Tunisia and Egypt. This is a warning for all the Arab countries. And you see that many now talking about the reform, talking about the people. You see what the development in Syria now. They're giving the Kurdish, I think, the Syrian nationality now. I think this reform must be happened long time ago. But unfortunately, as I said, in Libya, for example, this man, he give no attention. He give no weight for the Libyan people. He just used them like slaves, you know, serving him and his family.
Ambassador Ali Ojley defected from Gaddafi. He had been ambassador to the United States for the Gaddafi regime, now representing
for currently for be the, able to
what did
that.
I say? For the well, okay, and now representing the Transitional National Council. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Brian Lehrer in WNYC, and coming up in a minute, we will begin our coverage of Mayor Bloomberg's news conference scheduled for just a few minutes from now, at which he is expected to announce the resignation of Kathy Black as the New York City Schools Chancellor.